Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda, and I hope that all of you folks had a great Christmas. We did at our house, and hopefully I'm coming in loud and clear. And someone's drinking scotch. Love it. I have my wine. Anyway, my name is Linda, and I'm coming at you from Oceanside, California on a 61-degree sunny day here in Oceanside, and love you guys. Thanks for joining me, Rod and Ron. And there's so much going on in the news. Oh, my God. I have, now we've got Canadian blend mist. Boy, sounds like Alcoholics Anonymous today. Anyway, so I get the headline today on the Union Tribune of San Diego and a lot of things going on in California. Oh, I love it. Single malt. Yeah, I'll bet it is. I know some people out there have lots of money they can spend on expensive single malt scotches. Okay, so here's my headline for today that I woke up to. It's from Sacramento, and it says, giant headline, key environmental law targeted for overhaul here in California. And it goes, signed, you're going to love this one. Signed by Republican Governor Ronald Reagan and strengthened by a series of court rulings and legislation, California's bedrock environmental law in recent years has been slowly chiseled in response to the bleak economy and flurries of litigation that have compounded costs for developers and public agencies. But this could be a watershed moment for the California Environmental Quality Act, known as CEQA, as powerful Democrats and their staunch allies return to the Capitol in January to explore legislation that could remove some of the law's formidable legal barriers to projects while maintaining environmental safeguards. So they're all fighting now. Medicinal purposes, yeah. The debate, a continuation of frantic late campaign last summer to make the law more business friendly. Will you hear the rest of this? You guys are going to love it. It's also being fueled by an early December court order rejecting a, listen to this one, $200 billion. This is the one that gets me. This is Agenda 21. 40-year regional transportation plan adopted by SANDAG, which is the public-private partnership, or the NGO called San Diego Association of Governments, a very evil entity. The, there we go, it says, the SANDAG plan improperly permits greenhouse gas emissions linked to global warming to increase from 2020 through 2050. Yeah, this is all their ICLEI plans. A judge ruled, siding with critics of the plan, and it goes on, but it does completely, or but it does comply with reduction standards in state law through 2020 and was given the green light by State Air Resources Board, SANDAG maintains, which is CARB, California Air Resources Board, another evil entity. The San Diego case illustrates what's wrong with the law, according to Senator Michael Rubio, a Bakersfield Democrat and leader, in the drive to make it more difficult to use what is commonly known as CEQA to challenge projects in court. So I'm quoting this guy, it highlights the point that you can meet or exceed the law and still get sued and stopped, State Senator Rubio said. Here we go. Jack Hsu, president of the, this is another one, Cleveland National Forest Foundation board that filed the suit, said the court victory exemplifies exactly why we need CEQA. Oh boy, another lefty. Hsu pointed out that without the litigation, SANDAG would be free to pursue its plan and spend billions of dollars, even though it would adversely affect the environment, among other shortcomings. Yeah, Agenda 21. Rubio has been in negotiations with Senate President pro tempore Daryl Steinberg, a Democrat in Sacramento, to craft a compromise bill. Neither side is talking about banning all lawsuits. These guys are all nuts. Negotiations center on a handful of poor proposals. Here's number one. A legal challenge could not be filed against a project for failing to adequately address an impact as long as the developer has complied with the umbrella state or federal laws that specifically cover the impact, such as the ESA, Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, and the Clean Water Act, all evil. Number two, a project could not be challenged in court if it complies with an approved city or general or county general plan, if those plans have an approved environmental impact report, EIR, I've heard that one before, and the project is consistent with the, Sustainable Communities Strategy launched by Senate Bill. This is California. We've tried to stop this, but we couldn't. This is signed under Arnold Schwarzenhauskeeper. This is Senate Bill 375, written by Steinberg. That law established a path to lower greenhouse gas emissions linked to global warming. Okay, here we go, Agenda 21, through smart growth building policies that also encourage more alternative transit from buses to bicycle paths and complete streets and stupid traffic calming. Number three, those filing lawsuits must reveal their financial interests and who is paying the legal costs. There is also debate on whether to extend those transparency requirements to the local planning process. Oh boy. As well, so decision makers know whether a protest is being lodged out of genuine concern for the environment or if there's a profit motive. Evil profit motive. The challenging thing, I'm quoting someone here, probably Steinberg. Let's see. The challenging thing about a law like this is everybody knows it needs to be fixed, Steinberg said. Quoting again, the question is, what are the fixes that preserve the strength of the law and at the same time address abuses? That's what we will grapple with. God, these people are so... Last summer, State Senator Rubio made a late push for an overhaul that Steinberg intercepted, sending the bill to the sidelines before it was formally introduced. CEQA is a great law, but a law that needs work, Steinberg said at the time. We're going to take it on, and we're going to take it on in a big way. Here we go. Here comes Governor Jerry Mussolini Brown, who, as Attorney General at the time, threatened local governments with litigation if they didn't address greenhouse gas emissions in their planning documents, has signaled an interest in reining in CEQA lawsuits on a number of occasions. Okay, the theology of CEQA and its endless analysis, that's something that can be improved, he said, and that was September of 2011. And last July, he said, I have never seen any CEQA exemptions I didn't like. Oh, these guys are just unbelievable. They're challenge will be convincing fellow Democrats, especially if environmentalists keep up their stiff resistance. And then it goes on. We've got the new assemblyman, who is a rhino promotion side, which we tried not get him elected. Rocky Chavez said he saw the delays and costs add up as a councilman when he was a council member of Oceanside. It puts a chill on development. I don't know if the costs are in line with the value received. It's consistent. These people, California is done. As far as, I'm welcoming Mike from the hot seat. Thanks for joining us. We have guests as well, so hopefully they can hear me. And I'm going to go to this one. I have a friend here in California, Jeff, who has been fighting Agenda 21 for a long time. He's with SoCal Patriots. He also fights vehemently on the illegal immigration issue and has written many things. And I got a great email from him, so I want to go read what he said to everybody. He said, if you don't subscribe to this daily news email. It's California Political News and Views, and this was published today. There was articles 12/26/12. I strongly suggest you do. You need this information analysis daily, no matter how depressing it is. California is in a tailspin, and our public safety and any wealth we have left are at grave risk. The supermajority Democrats, leftists, which have all been now elected with Mussolini Brown, are on a rampage to get everything they've ever wanted on their Marxist La Raza wish list. I'm afraid they will most likely get all or most of it in 2013. Plan and act accordingly. Any guns you are thinking about buying, buy them now. With all the criminals being let out of our jails and coming up from Mexico to our super sanctuary state, you might just need them. As many of our cities go deeper into debt, more cops will be laid off and the criminals will take advantage. Remember, you are responsible for the safety and security of your family and your property, not our corrupt and weakened governments. There are several, I'm just going to go through this real quick and check. Okay, no phones. Just want to go back. It says, smart criminals in New York will stay away from legal gun owners thanks to New York's newspaper. It's crazy. You got to believe this stuff. Can't make this up, guys. Some are upset that a New York newspaper published the names, published of names and addresses of those licensed to own a gun in New York. Actually, this is a good thing. A smart criminal will know who has a gun to stay away from that person and his address. I worry about those who do not have a license. They are sitting ducks for criminals. Remember, when seconds count, the cops are only minutes or hours away, depending on your call. Today, the Journal News in upstate New York, owned by Gannett, published the names and addresses of all gun permit holders in the Westchester and Rockland counties, county areas of New York. So the Journal News said, the map indicates the addresses of all pistol permit holders in Westchester and Rockland counties. Each dot represents an individual permit holder licensed to own a handgun, pistol, or revolver. The data does not include owners of long guns, rifles, or shotguns, which can be purchased in that, apparently, without a permit. Being included in this map does not mean the individual at a specific location owns a weapon, just that they are licensed to do so. They've got another one here. This one, okay, here we go. Unaffordable housing and open space. This is Agenda 21. It says, this was done yesterday by Stephen Frank, and I'm not sure where this was published, but it's all on here. Agenda 21 is clear. No elected officials are needed to make decisions. Few appeals are allowed, and their model for a community is Manhattan, not small-town America. Do you want to be forced by government to live in an 800-square-foot apartment or condo above a liquor store? That is the goal. Will you say something? Your children deserve a better future. There is a complete disconnect between cause and effect. Greenbelt Alliance lobbies to take land out of the production. The turns around and lobbies for affordable housing when they helped create the exact conditions that caused housing to be unaffordable in the first place. Let's have an adult conversation about cause and effect, costs and benefits, rather than dreaming utopian dreams of designing a perfect world that is within our reach. If only we would give up our private property rights, it is time to get real about what is happening. Absolutely. Okay, realignment. Here's the California news. I'm going to go back for a second. Okay. I'm going to pick up Ron. Hey, how are you? Hi, FD.
Hey, darling. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. Ours was wonderful, and thanks for all the prayers, because Henry was there. My mother told him, as he had that thing, he had to have the stent put in like a week before Christmas. Everybody's praying. I'm putting prayer chains out in Montana. I was all over the place. And my mom's 90, and she looks at him, and she says, you are not supposed to check out until after I do.
Well, you know, Christmas wasn't too bad. It was a little depressing. My newest granddaughter, Isabella, is in the hospital.
Oh, no.
She has RSV, which is a viral infection, but she's doing better. So it's just kind of a bummer. I'm used to having all my babies here at home.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a little tough, but.
Yeah, and I got an email, and there was Christmas pictures of the bunnies from Hot Seat, and they were just adorable.
Yes.
So I sent them over.
They are.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's going to be okay, Mike. Oh. They had a therapist come in, and she's at Scottish Rite Children's here in Atlanta, which is one of the best children's hospitals in the country.
Awesome.
Ooh,
excuse me. Praise God.
Mm.
God.
So anyway, I think she's going to be okay.
Oh.
And, you know, the reason I was calling wasn't to bemoan my family's issues, but you were talking about gun control. And
right.
You know, I've recently kind of jumped back in the pool. I used to be on a website out here called Georgia Outdoor News.
Right.
And they went through some machinations and things got really screwy and it just sucked. It wasn't as good as it used to be.
Right.
And there was another group of guys, an offshoot from that, that started up a new website, and it's the Outdoor Trader. And I am, like, completely, totally just fixated.
Okay.
It's nuts. I've bought, six guns this month?
Oh, my God. Well, listen, here's what Mussolini Brown wants to do now in California. This lovely person, for lack of other terms, because we're on patriot families, wants to make ammunition. People who want to buy ammunition in California have to have background checks just to purchase it.
I understand. The reason I was calling is I wanted to read you an email that I received from a fellow member. This is from the NCIS, FBI background check, you know, when you go to purchase a gun at a store. First of all, thank you so much for your continued patience with our system and staff. Mm-hmm. The volume of incoming transactions has and continues to be unprecedented. Here at the FBI, we continue to strategize on processing changes that will allow us to optimize our resources and finalize as many transactions as possible. Since Black Friday, November 23rd, 2012, the FBI NICS section has experienced an equivalent of 5 Black Fridays, quote, more than 155,000 transactions per day. Now, for those of you that aren't exceptional at math, that's over 6 million new gun purchases run through the NCIS system since Black Friday.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, you know why. I mean, that they're trying.
Well, sure.
Okay. So here's my call to arms, everyone. Pardon the pun. If this idiot does this and I can't go online to purchase whatever or go to my local Walmart or gun store, I'm going to email Bill and you and Rod and anyone else I can get my hands on, and I will send you money and then tell you what I need. You figure out how to ship it to me. And I'm telling you, these guys, they are ticking me off big time.
Well, I've got right now, I've got a rifle that I purchased probably 3 years ago. It was one of those I had to have it kind of thing. And it's a deer hunting rifle, but it's one of the better calibers that you can own. And right now, you know, I've been looking at getting rid of it. Well, I sold the rifle scope off of it, and I have a young man that's courting me very, very aggressively. He has a Norinco SKS. What that is basically the poor man's version of an AK-47.
Okay.
And on their best day, they're worth $300.
Wow.
And on its worst day, the rifle I have is worth $600.
Okay.
And he's wanting to trade me straight up, and I'm laughing. I'm like, slow down there, Tiger. They said, man, these things are going for $450 on GunBroker. And I said, well, I'm not GunBroker, and I'm not desperate. So,
yeah,
but, I mean,
oh, my God.
You know, an entry-level AR-15 that a month ago you'd be lucky to get $600 for, they're selling for $2,300.
Wow.
It's absolutely insane. People have lost their minds.
Oh, I know. Well, what I'm dealing with, because I can't afford to go running out and buying what I'd love to have. I mean, I'd love a 308, but I don't have that kind of money. I'm spending more on my teeth than those things cost. So
you know, that's the beauty of the 308. That the SKS, which is a 7.62 by 3.9, which is the standard round for an AK-47. Okay. I can take the SKS over to my gunsmith and have him ream the chamber a little bit deeper, and it will accept a 308, which is 7.6 by 5.1.
Wow. Well, I'm just dealing with ammunition. If I want to have a stockpile, if they try to make it so I can't, then I'm either going to have to drive to Vegas and go down on Tropicana Avenue where there's a gun store and pick it up and drive it back home.
It depends on what kind of ammo you're looking for, Miss Linda.
I want 9mm hollow points for my my Taurus, which is Luger, Federal Luger, I guess they call it. And then I need buckshot for double-aught buck for the 12-gauge. And
piece
possibly,
of cake.
Huh?
Piece of cake.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about. Yeah, but how do you package it so it can get through the mail?
Shipping explosives or ammunition through the mail without the proper hazmat and all that is a big no-no.
Oh, I know.
And that'll lose you your right to keep and bear arms. I don't understand how the government has the right to...
They don't.
...separate me from a right that they didn't grant to me in the first place.
Oh, they make me so tired. I'm so tired of this. I can't take it anymore. And why can't we talk about, you know, our right and our duty to throw off tyrannical government forms? I mean, what are we doing here?
Well,
these
two events, this is the perfect fodder.
Oh, yeah.
For the progressive nut jobs.
Sure.
You know, they want nothing more than to disarm the American public.
Yeah, they've been wanting
that. That would make life so much easier for them.
Easier, yeah. Well, it made it easier for Stalin. Sure did. My goodness.
Made it easier for every regime.
Oh, yeah. And Pol Pot and Mao and Hitler. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember the guy who made the quote, but he said if those German people and those Jews had their arms, that Hitler would be a footnote in history. Because they could have stopped that in 30 days. There'd have been a lot of dead Gestapo on the street, man.
Rod asked if I have a scope. Yes, I have several. I actually sold the scope off of my Tika. I've got more shotguns than I know what the hell to do with at this point.
Oh, dang. Well, it looks like I'm going to be biting the bullet, so to speak, and spending the gas money to go to damn Nevada to get my stuff, because I'll do it. All I want is the ammunition, you know.
Absolutely, or go to Arizona.
Well, yeah, but I mean, four and a half, five hours, if, you know, depends on how fast I drive. I'm right there in downtown Vegas, and they've got tons of gun stores there. So,
Linda,
play penny slots too on the way out.
I am going to I'm going to put up a link in the chat room. Okay, and what you need to do is, oh, just hang on. This guy is dying to sell me a pistol. oh God, he's got a 1911 that I would just give my right arm for. Okay, the OutdoorTrader.com classifieds.
Okay.
Now, they have local classifieds or national classifieds. Find someone in Nevada that's willing to meet you part way.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
The person private sales, you know, they still can't regulate, or they have a hard time regulating. So.
Yeah. I saved it for later. I got it. Okay. I picked it up. Anyway, so there. I was going to, just for a second, go back to this thing and show you what's going on. It said, it says, great news for California criminals. They will be let out of jail sooner. It is uncomfortable in a cell. And when out, no supervisors, they can go and do anywhere they want. Plus, since the courts have determined the jails are crowded, little chance of going back, even if they mug and rob you. Isn't California great? Of those 9,000 who have been sentenced to jail in lieu of prison, about 90% of them are going to come out without supervision by a probation officer or a parole agent. Let's see, County Chief Probation Officer Jerry Power said during a recent meeting of the Southern California Association of Governments, there we go with those NGOs again, they're simply going to walk out of jail a free person and we will have no ability to compel them to engage in drug treatment, mental health treatment, or anything of the sort. As soon as they hit the public sidewalk, they are truly free. And California lawmakers take aim against guns, of course. Criminals love Democratic supermajority in Sacramento. Their friends, Democrats, are going to make it safer for criminals to rape, rob, and kill without concern for being jailed, caught, or victim shooting, you know, back. The jails are too crowded, and it just goes on. It's crazy. I mean, it's horrible what they're doing. I can't, and they've got defrauding and Medicare, the whole, this site, I'll have to send you guys the stuff as soon as I get off the thing. Rod says, when I go to Oregon for a visit, I have already decided not to go to California. Good one, Rod. Oh, I can hardly wait to get out of here. So this is what we're up against. When I was reading the headline today on this, Agenda 21 Guards going on in Sacramento, has been going on since 1970 under Governor Reagan, which you know, because it took me an hour and a half to read that post you gave me on PDF file about regionalism. No, it was good because I need to know this stuff. I mean, if I don't educate myself, what am I going to do here?
Kind of breaks the whole ideology with Reagan, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, not just that, but, I mean, he did a few things. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff he did as president and when he was governor, when we talk about the, you know, trying to hide everything from the courts, especially the California Supreme Court, when that guy that, you know, I think his name was Singleton or Single, whatever his name was, who fought him on the driver's license issue. I mean, these guys, I'm telling you, they're in on it, Ron. They're all in on it.
The thing for me with Reagan is he was an easy guy to like. He was very affable.
Yep.
His persona, his character was, spot on.
Unlike Obama. He was a good actor.
Yeah,
the other one was a bad actor.
If you peel back the bullshit and look beyond your own
personal,
you know, connection that you feel like you had with the guy, he really wasn't all that hot as a president. I'm sorry.
I know. Nobody listens. Nobody, you know, they won't. I'm telling you. And people, I have said this before in blogs, on the newspaper. I've called out everybody in city council. I've called out my fellow people. I said, for the love of God, you know, if you open a book to read what needs to be read, the pages will not be laced with cyanide and you will not curl up and die. I get so tired of it. I don't understand it. The laziness, the abject derelict of duty on every front. Nobody knows the history of this country. Nobody knows anything about Jefferson or Washington or any of them. They don't know nothing. You ask people who signed the Declaration, they say, oh, George Washington. Excuse me? Who's the largest signature? Can't even remember. Hancock? My God. And then, you know, I get these arguments. My head's going to explode. I don't even know where to start with these people. I guess I'm reading for the whole world. I don't know. I just don't know. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever, like, go nuts?
Oh, yeah, only, you know, once a day for the last 12 years.
Oh, yeah. And then I was reading this one. I'm going to do this real quick. There's about two paragraphs, so if you guys bear with me. This was jumped out at me because you know how the liberals and the progressives, which I call communists, they like to change the dialect, like Marx's Hegelian dialectic nonsense and all these clowns. You know, this goes way back. And a lot of this starts in the 1800s. This is where we've got to start looking, people, because this is when Lincoln came in. This is when I believe it was Stalin or Lenin, probably. Could have been Lenin, yeah, who congratulated Lincoln on his re-election. I mean,
yeah, wasn't that nice?
Unbelievable how these guys are all joined at the hip. And one of the things you've got to watch out for when you listen to this stuff, and my dad used to teach my mom about this stuff because he was pretty sharp. That guy read as much or more than Terry Rowland has, and that's going some. He was also a graduate and a teacher. So this man, he was into every, I mean, world history, all of it. So he knew. He studied the Constitution. He tried to understand what was going on. And so what they do is they use these words. And this particular piece of Road to Serfdom is called, this chapter is The End of Truth, and talking about how they use propaganda and what why it was so necessary to do it. Once I read the first piece on that whole era of the Bolshevik Revolution through the end of World War II, I'm telling you, every one of these people, whether it's Mao, Pol Pot, Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, the first thing they did, before they did any nationalization of anything else, is they grabbed that media. They got every aspect of it, newspapers, radio, blog, anything that was written, talked about, whether it was movies, whatever. I mean, they had it locked down like a gulag, and that's how they did this. And then they went to the nationalization of healthcare, the nationalization of taking over the means of production, and then, of course, they took the guns, because that's how they have to do it. They knew what to do, they had a blueprint, and they followed it perfectly. And look what the hell they made. Anyway, it says, the most effective way of making people accept the validity of the values they are to serve is to persuade them that they are really the same as those which they, or at least at the best among them, have always held. In other words, they're mind controlling you, but which were not properly understood or recognized before. The people are made to transfer their allegiance from the old gods to the new, under the pretense that the new gods really are what their sound instinct had always told them, but what before they had only dimly seen. And the most efficient technique to this end is to use the old words but change their meaning. Few traits of totalitarian regimes are at the same time so confusing to the superficial observer and yet so characteristic of the whole intellectual climate as the complete perversion of language, the change of meaning of the words by which the ideals of the new regimes are expressed. The worst sufferer in this respect, of course, is the word liberty. It is a word used as freely in totalitarian states as elsewhere. Indeed, it could almost be said, and it should serve as a warning to us to be on our guard, this was done in 1933, against all the tempters who promise us new liberties for old. That wherever liberty, as we understand it, has been destroyed, this has almost always been done in the name of some new freedom promised to the people. This is what Obama does. So did FDR. So did Lyndon Baines Johnson. So did Carter. Even among us, we have planners for freedom who promise us a collective freedom for the group. Oh, that's so Stalin. The nature of which may be gathered from the fact that its advocate finds it necessary to assure us that naturally the advent of planned freedom does not mean that all entire earlier forms of freedom must be abolished. Dr. Carl Mannheim, from whose work these sentences are taken, at least warns us that a conception of freedom modeled on the preceding age is an obstacle to any real understanding of the problem. But his use of the word freedom is as misleading as it is in the mouth of totalitarian politicians. Like their freedom, the collective freedom he offers is not the freedom of members of society, but the unlimited freedom of the planner to do with society what he pleases. It is the confusion of freedom with the power carried to the extreme. And that's what we're up against all the time, have been for a whole long time. And all this nonsense, a lot of it came out of Engels, Marx, and the rest of them. And, of course, Plato's Republic. I mean, we can go all the way back to Babylon. But this is where they're getting this nonsense. And these Luciferians are just, they're wreaking havoc on us. And nobody, I mean, how long did it take me to do this? This little two paragraphs. My God, people. Did I die? I'm still here. I don't understand. I don't understand.
But Linda, and you know, is it not of our own ignorance that this has all come about?
Exactly. But at least I woke up 5 years ago and I'm trying. It's not like I'm not trying.
Oh, no, I understand. Don't get me wrong by any stretch. It's when you realize that you've been a complete...
Yeah. Well, you know, here...
Dipstick, okay, no. For lack of a better analogy. And you're kicking yourself going, how could I be this stupid? I've been there, but, done that, got the T-shirt.
I know. Oh, and I found out that if you want, I can order 100 of those bumper stickers that say, if at first you don't succeed, try and again for $25. So if you want me to, I'll get some and send them out to y'all.
Isn't that great? I love Mike Church. He's the best thing on the radio, I swear.
No, my mom's laughing about it. Well, you know, my mother's 90 years old, plus a month, and she just... Well, I came here 3 years ago after my dad passed away.
Sorry, I was going to say at 90, you have to count the months, I guess.
Yes, exactly. She
gets
okay.
along pretty good from what I've seen.
She's amazing. I absolutely adore her. She's got a lot of sciatic problems, as you can well imagine, so we do what we can to help her. She's got a cane, and we always make sure she's comfortable. But she had to, at Christmas, we had a three-hour party at my niece's house, which was wonderful. But when she's sitting, even on a very comfortable couch, if she's not lying flat, it's going to put pressure on her back. So, not good. Anyway, so with that said, when I came here, she saw these books that stack up over my head, which I had been ordering and reading like a banshee since 2009 or halfway when Idiot was starting to campaign. And she starts reading some of this stuff. She read like 3/4 of Bonhoeffer. She didn't want to read the part where he gets hanged, so, you know, she couldn't handle that. She's reading Original Intent by David Barton. She's reading The Real George Washington. She's reading Liberty and Tyranny. She's reading The 5,000 Year Leap.
That is awesome.
And she's reading all this stuff, and she says, Linda, I did not know this. I said, because they've been lying to us, Ron, for how many years? How many? Over 100
decades.
Years.
Yes.
For 130 years, they have every institution has been, what I just read out of Road to Serfdom, they have gotten hold of it and done it to us.
It's Darling, they've been blowing smoke up the collective's tailpipe since there was a collective and since a politician first took the stump, for God's sake.
Exactly. I when I was reading that the Annals of the Archives of the Senate or the Congress, when you talked about George Washington in, what was it, 1791, and they hadn't even barely put the damn 10 Bill of Rights up there, and he starts screwing with the 10th Amendment royally.
Yeah, I mean, the ink wasn't even dry on the damn thing. I'm sorry, but it was 1789 that it was fully ratified. And by 1791, they've pretty much run it through a shredder, and they didn't even have shredders back then, for God's sakes.
Well, they had matches.
I mean, the first one was the first Treasury Secretary, which was Hamilton. They convinced everybody they needed a damn central bank and they had to go into debt. If they showed debt, then that proved their creditworthiness to the other creditors. And you got to stop. See, one of the things that we don't look at in perspective is when Hamilton is on his soapbox.
Right.
Preaching to the choir about their creditworthiness, do we stop for a moment to think who are their creditors?
Yeah.
Spain, England, and France, right?
Yep.
France and England are at war.
Oh, my God.
At that point in time, 1791. That's when the first income tax is instituted.
Oh,
why? Because they're worried that we're going to have to fight a war. Who is it we borrowed money from during the Revolutionary War? Oh, France, right?
Yep.
But now we're going to side with England? What the hell is wrong with these people?
I don't get it. And wasn't Alexander Hamilton was one of the three authors of the Federalist Papers, was he not?
He was indeed. And one of the reasons that him and Burr got into it, him and Burr were business partners, and they had bank charter number one in the United States, the first bank chartered by Congress. Okay? And where did they get their money? They got a $10 million loan from the Bank of England.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
I mean,
you know,
are you kidding me? You can't make this stuff up.
I know. And then you can go through every single, practically every, all of it from 1812 forward. I mean, it's just insanity. And
well,
then,
that's why I said if you look at it from purely a monetary standpoint, if you scrub away all the other bullcrap, all the other distractions, whether it's, you know, slavery, or whatever.
Yep.
Just scrub all that BS and look at it purely from a money standpoint.
Yep.
It's never been anything but that.
And every time you follow the money, where does it lead you to? It leads you to the cockroaches.
It leads me to the damn Bank of England is where it leads me to, in this country at least.
Well, now it leads us to the Vatican and D.C. and the City of London. Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Sure.
This is what I'm finding out. Every time I pick up a newspaper, every time I pick up my books on history, whether it's Hayek, von Mises, I don't care how far back I go. We are, and look what's going on in D.C. I'm not going to steal that one. I'm going to call him the Schmendrick-in-Chief. You can use Mike's later on your show. Yeah, because I want you to get that little blurb. That schmuck's coming back here and costing us more money on Air Force One because he's trying to, you know, make a grandstand play at the fiscal cliff nonsense and interrupting his vacation. Yeah, Hotsey's got it. Yeah.
The Caliph-in-Chief.
Yeah,
hey,
absolutely.
You know what? That is apropos if there ever was a moniker was fitting. That's it. I
got
to give it, you know, all bow and hail to Mike at the hot seat because that is the one, brother.
That's hot. Well, he does. He does, Mike. He absolutely. I know he was laughing the other day.
I'll drink to that.
But you know, but I say, you know, and so Schmendrick over there, you know, Zero, I call him for lack of another term, but you know, he's playing all this stuff up like the bad actor that he is. But it doesn't matter because you know Valerie Jarrett and Jeremiah Wright and all the rest of them and. The Clintons and the Bilderbergs promised Mouchel that if she married the schmuck, the gay one, you know, she doesn't miss him. She doesn't care. They don't sleep together anyway. So what's the big deal? You know, and then he's spending all of our money and she's out there, you know, getting what she was promised. It just makes me sick. I can't take it anymore. And these lefties. And then they're screaming on all these talk shows about gun control. And even, what's his face? Oh, I got Mike from the hot seat coming up. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Michael, Merry Christmas,
hey,
brother.
You
thanks
too,
for the
Ron.
Pictures, by the way. They are adorable.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Those kids are just something else. And they got more. We took even more. So I went,
hey, if you ever need a place to camp out, a place to stay, you are welcome at my house. I love babies, dude. I am a sucker for babies.
Well, I appreciate that, and you never know the way things are going.
Yeah,
Liz and I might have to come on down. We might have to circle the wagons.
Hey, come on, brother. I got room.
And so, you need to celebrate Christmas again, Ron, when your little granddaughter gets better. You have to do it all over again.
Oh,
there's nothing
sweet
wrong
fella.
With that.
Let me tell you, my wife and my son went up there yesterday. I can't go. I mean, you're talking about a hospital that's dedicated to nothing but little kids.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I cannot walk in that place. It's bad enough to see my little baby with the tubes and the oxygen.
Yeah, oh, jeez.
But all the other little ones, I couldn't deal with that.
Yeah,
not
I
a
know.
Million years
hey,
I couldn't deal with it.
This is why I give, you know, $25 a month to St. Jude, and hopefully I can give more down the road. I don't know, but I'm going to take my best shot.
Oh, those guys are angels. Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
You know, I got to tell you, and before I let you all get rocking here, the guys on the Outdoor Trader are phenomenal. We had a guy that he put up a post. They had a local family over in Alpharetta, Georgia area that had fallen on some hard times, and he put out a call for some gifts. They had four kids, 3, 6, 9, and 11. And the pictures that he posted of the presents that people went out and bought. My wife, God bless her, we went out and got about $400 worth of gifts. She filled the back of the Explorer full, and we gave him some wrapping paper. He put up a post. They got enough in donations from the Outdoor Trader site to pay all their bills for this month and the following month.
Nice.
We got enough donations in gift cards to put them in food, groceries for the next 6 weeks. And I promise you, you couldn't see the damn Christmas tree for all the presents for them.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, I mean, just phenomenal. And that's what it's all about, you know?
I know. Yeah.
Sure is.
Anyway, Mike, what do you think about some of my intro and my reading from Hayek's Road to Serfdom and the gun control issues and things like this?
Well, you know, it's just, look, these people in charge, these global elitists,
yep,
one world order, Illuminati, call them whatever you want, they know how gullible the masses are.
Uh-huh.
And they know that they could just pull any string and the people will just follow along. And, you know, we are so far behind the eight ball.
I know.
You know, and like I said, as I said Saturday night on my show, I even had to go at it a little bit with the wife. You know, I mean, I got a lot. I looked at her, I said, you know, honey, I got a lot of work to do with you. You know, and it's just amazing that, you know, people are so ignorant. And they just want to, and these guys knew. These guys knew the Illuminati, the New World Order that started way in the beginning. They know that not only can they get their agenda pushed across, they don't even have to force it. The people will ask for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's amazing.
My friend Bill in Indiana, he does our Tuesday shows, but I was too tired and hungover yesterday, so we weren't doing anything.
made a little merry yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun. I think I admonished myself that day, said, I'm not doing that, I'm going to cut myself off. But anyway, he said that he has very little patience, as do I, of people who are willfully ignorant and abject, just lazy, will not read anything, and they will listen to that nonsense, that propaganda, and it is pure Pravda every day for 130 years. I can't take it anymore.
It's not just that. It's not just that, but, you know, people just shoot off at the hip. You know, like Melissa, my wife, says, you know, I was a victim of a school shooter. Get rid of all the guns, you know.
Oh, my God.
But she doesn't think about, you know, but see, that's just it's a knee-jerk reaction. But you see, the guys in charge know that they can expand on that knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, yeah. You should hear these talk shows I was watching.
They know they can take advantage.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah, they're jumping on it.
Advantage. So they're
please.
And I made Melissa talk about it, and within 5 minutes, she defeated her own argument.
Well, okay, everybody I know. Everybody that I have seen, all these libtards, and whether they're 40 years old, 20 years old, 60, doesn't matter, and they're all over the place because we have nothing but replete with these libtards on every news media outlet, whether it's Wendy's show or this show or Piers Morgan. In fact, I was going to Twitter Piers Morgan and tell him what a schmuck he is.
He's just a punk. He's just a British Europunk.
Yeah,
they all love socialism. They never knew what freedom.
What?
Yes, he's
Eurotrash.
He doesn't know any better. I know.
Why does he live here? Why does he want to be here?
Well, like everybody else, they like the American money. See, they like capitalism. They just don't want you to have any.
Exactly.
Right.
There you go.
They like they're like damn welfare recipients. They like all the benefits of hard work, but they don't want to do any of it themselves.
I'm sure Piers Morgan and those guys do work very hard. I mean, you and I know, you know, the three of us know how hard it is and how much time we put in or getting our own shows together.
Well, now I got to confess, Mike, I put you do a yeoman's job. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Doing great.
I put in absolutely zero time prepping for my show. Everything is done from the hip, right off the top of my head.
Well, then you're real good, bro.
He's hot.
You're real good, man. It is.
Because I spend literally hours.
I'm serious. I don't spend
getting
10 minutes,
my show together.
But my analogy with the Eurotrash and the welfare recipients is they like all the benefits. They don't want to put forth the effort. Most of your government welfare handout folks are much more comfortable sitting at home, chilling with a 40 at the crib, reaping the benefits of my labor than they are getting off their butts and laboring.
Yes, but the pushers of this stuff, like your Piers Morgan or whatever, they work very hard. They just don't want you to have it. And second of all, he's making money off of his own bullshit.
Well,
and that's the point.
He's a
capitalist. Obama's a capitalist. Who spent $4 million on a Hawaiian vacation? He's living like a king. Stalin lived like a king. They're all liars. They know that they can manipulate the pea brains of the populace.
Yep.
And say, capitalism is bad. Living like royalty is bad. But they're doing it themselves.
Right.
They know that they can play it.
Right.
It's the people's fault for the situation we're in.
How many of these libtard pundits on TV who have their own little talk shows on TV, whether they're, 20 years old or whatever they are, how many have ever actually held a handgun or a shotgun or loaded one?
Probably not. But these guys, I got a lot of satisfaction when Mark Levin criticized Paul Ryan after two weeks of rebuking me on his show for slamming Ryan. I got so much satisfaction.
That was hot. Well,
and you love the Caliph in Chief, don't you? You love don't you?
Oh, that was perfect.
That is
a hot original,
folks. Coming for you. It's just amazing how everything is just coming to fruition. The GOP is falling apart.
God.
I love it.
California's in the tank. I mean, I've had it with these people.
California's
the only thing that I can do. In January, when everything settles down, I get over my cold and things start, do whatever I need to do and regroup. I'm not done. I'm going to go out in public and speak about Agenda 21. I'm going to have a private meeting with three rhinos in my city council, and I'm going to lay it out to them. And then if I don't get any satisfaction with those clowns, I'm going to get that book by Glenn Beck called Agenda 21, which is actually fiction. And according to what I've seen of it, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty hairy. And then the epilogue is what it has the most impact.
Well, don't forget the book, The Harbinger.
I know. I got it on Ron sent me a whole thing.
You
got
to get that book.
Yeah, it's like
Linda, you need this pistol.
Which one?
It's a Desert Eagle. God, it's beautiful.
Oh, hey,
sorry.
I'm taking the advice of Michael Corleone. Never let anyone outside the family know what you're thinking. I'm not going to put things out there. We shouldn't be. We got to keep some things under wraps, Let's not.
Michael. Now, come on. You don't think that I'm showing all my cards, do you?
No.
Well, no. No.
Okay.
But
just saying.
We just got to keep some things.
I'm going to order that book and read it, and then I'm going to put all my contact information, and I'm going to hand it to my mayor, and I'm going to say, you read this, and in 4 or 5 months, you give it back to me so I can share it with my sister and other people, and if that doesn't work, then...
Linda, you're giving your mayor too damn much credit. You're presuming that he has reading comprehension of the English language.
Yeah, but not just that. They're not going to live under the fist of Agenda 21. They're not going to live under the fist of Obamacare.
Do you understand that?
They're separated from it.
They don't think they will, but I got news for you. They will.
City Council, they're too far down on the food chain, babe. They are not going to survive this. These people are useful idiots. Those people are marching to their own demise.
Maybe at that level, but if they move up. They'll be removed.
Honey, they're going to be removed before they even get governorship.
They'll be removed from having to live under Obamacare and whatnot. They'll have their lifetime this and their lifetime that.
These guys, look, all the senators on the federal level, all the Illuminatis and the people like Valerie Jarrett and those and George Soros and the rest of those clowns, they might be up on that echelon. But let me tell you, these city council people, they're going to be thrown to the wolves. Huge.
As they stay city council people. But if they move up into the Congress and the Senate,
they're
not going to be affected by this stuff. Only us. Only we the voters.
let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole bunch of these people who think they're immune who are not. And I'm telling you, look, Stalin did it. He purged people next sitting next to him.
No,
you
that's
think
true.
They won't. Oh, please read the books. I'm telling you, he.
There is nothing safe and nothing sacred.
Absolutely. Well. Oh, they'll shoot you in the eye. Sitting, they don't care. Whoever's high up on the rung. Oh my God, nobody's safe under these totalitarian regimes. That's why I'm reading these books. My God, it's all there. It's terrifying. It's Agenda 21 is World War II on steroids.
And unfortunately, the sad thing is that people just don't want to hear it.
Well, you know what?
They just don't want to know.
I know, Michael, but let me tell you something. I've stayed up at night. Everything that Ron has given me, many sleepless nights, worrying about this, because the truth shall make you miserable before it gets you.
Good
it's
point.
The truth. That's the damn truth.
I agree with you.
I think the translation of that, Mike, is I'm a bad influence.
Yeah, in a way.
But you know what? I need to know this stuff. That's why I've been reading. Even before I met Ron, I was reading my buns off, trying to get this into my head, and sometimes I had to read the books twice. It doesn't matter. I want it in my soul so I can teach others, or at least understand it for myself to know what the hell I'm up against. I mean, my God, how do you fight it if you don't?
Well, no, we're trying to do our part. We're trying to reach people. On our shows, and if we can just reach, you know, one or two here and
absolutely.
There, and then they reach some, but you know they, you know, our audiences, you know, also have to tell other people.
I know.
About
I
what
to
we're doing.
My
they can't keep it under a rock, you know.
Yeah, and this is why I have vowed also in January to speak in public. I have told two groups, please give me 10 minutes to speak. I have a great presentation with my Agenda 21. Again, I will have a private meeting with the three rhinos in city council, because everybody whom I've come up against, come in contact with, who want to fight Agenda 21, we have to go to the local level. Rosa Curie, Glenn Beck, myself, all of the people on Americans Protecting Property Rights in my city that I've joined 3 years ago, we know we have to go after these city councils. Mike Hunsaker from San Marcos, has been fighting this for years. He wants my help, and I says, count me in, but you got to come to Oceanside and help me too, you know, because we got to fight this together. Oh, yeah.
One of the things my wife said the other day, and we were talking, and I'm just watching all these people going absolutely ape on the gun thing. Imagine it was something that was more sweeping or more broad in its impact, and not just on the people that recognize they have a Second Amendment right. Imagine it was food.
Yeah.
It would be insanity. It's insane now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on firearms, and one particular type of firearm, to be more specific. These people are crazy. If it were food, I mean, it would be so much broader and more widespread that
it
was
will
really.
Be.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
My wife said, you know, she said, you've got to understand these people today going crazy over the AR-15. They're in the same position that we were in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. They're just waking up to the realization of reality, what our reality is.
I got about a minute, guys. And thank you so much, both of you. Absolutely. Mike and Ron, one of you go first and say Happy New Year and love you guys.
Well, I'm not going to say Happy New Year yet because I've got a show this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's December 29th. And,
I
got some tough stuff.
Okay.
Suicide and the economy. Mitt Romney exposed. Oh, yeah.
Good.
I had this prick's number, and one of his own family members just ratted him out, and I'll be talking about that Saturday
awesome.
Night.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And
thanks, Ron.
So, and everybody wants to do a year in review, but I'll sum up 2012 real quick Saturday. So hope to see you all there, 9 o'clock
Absolutely.
Eastern.
Got it, babe. All right. Thank you. God bless.
You guys take care. Good night.
You know I'll be there, Mikey.
I know you will, my
Ron.
Brother. I
I'm
know you will.
I'm going to get cut off in a sec.
Yeah, go ahead.
Love you guys.
Yep, you
God bless.
God bless.
Bless you both.